It seemed to me, and granted, I'm sitting in my near my sofa, probably on my sofa in Toronto watching that game yesterday.
Yeah.
But it seemed to me like that win had a different feel to it. It felt like a very August/September win to it. Did it get that feeling sitting in the dugout?
No, no doubt. You know, I know it was a back and forth game, and you know, we had the lead, lost it. They had the lead and lost it. But I tell you what, the emotion in the dugout was fantastic. The guys were fighting and clawing tooth and nail, and it was impressive. You know, they didn't give in, and they kept fighting back, and it was pretty impressive to watch. Definitely sensed a different feel in that dugout yesterday. I mean, it was I think everybody obviously wants to win every game, but I think that one meant a lot to come out of there with a series win, you know, after those 17 in a row, and to win the last two games to start our own streak now there. So it was a big win for us emotionally. The clubhouse after the game was fired up. So, you know, we're hoping to carry that over into tonight.
I know as a pitcher, you believe that that momentum is your next day's starter, or at least you've heard that saying before. But it still felt like Melky pulling the shirt out of the pants after making the sliding catch. Like, have you seen that before from even a guy like Melky?
You know, here and there. I can be honest, here and there. You know, we've seen it. But I think right now, I think we know where we're at, and you know, as a team, and they know they're right in the thick of this thing.
And
you know, obviously we're missing a couple of key guys, and we're still fighting and battling, and you know, staying in a really good position right now. So you know, seeing the emotion from Melky's great. He goes about his business quietly, but to see him with a little extra emotion, I think really fires the guys up, and it's good to see.
Do you believe in statement games?
You know what? It's still very early. You know, I think we've had a few in the past already this season, to be honest with you. But I think right now, I think the guys have a good head on their shoulders. They know we're in this thing. You know, I think they feel pretty good about where we're at. You know, again, you know, Eddie back in the lineup, Laurie back in the lineup will be instrumental, I think, in making that final push. But right now they're holding the fort, and I think they feel really good about things right now. And, you know, the guys are getting timely hits when they need them, and the offense is definitely coming around. The pitching has been adequate. You know, the starting rotation's given us an opportunity to win some ball games. And you know, I think overall the guys are pulling for each other. It's a pretty good feeling right now in that clubhouse, like I said.
Pete Walker, the pitching coach of the Toronto Blue Jays, joining us here on Tim and Sid. It caught my ear that you said adequate. Why do you say the pitching staff has been adequate?
You know, I think overall, I think we can be better. I mean, I don't think anybody will deny that. And I think the guys in that clubhouse won't deny that. So, you know, as a starting staff, we've been good at times. We've been inconsistent. You know, we do have a couple of young starters. You know, Drew Hutchison is still looking for that consistency. But, you know, the spark is there every once in a while. You see a glimpse of what he can do. You know, and I think obviously the bullpen, you know, has been a little bit of a sour spot for a little bit. You know, there's been a couple of guys that were underperforming, but I think we're starting to come together right now. I feel better about things from a pitching standpoint. And I think overall, though, you know, the staff has done a great job, you know, keeping us in ball games. And like, you know, that's the name of the game, you know, as a starting group, to keep your team in the ball game with an opportunity to win. And when you have an offensive like ours, you know, what they're capable of doing, it should give us an opportunity to win more games than not.
Let's start with the bullpen. Have you been able to pinpoint a difference between what was among the best last year in the big leagues to what's gone on this year?
You know, you never know. It's probably the toughest part of the game to really put a finger on is the bullpen situation. You know, guys, year to year, one can be a fantastic year followed by a subpar year. You know, overuse, underuse, all that kind of stuff. But I think right now, you know, obviously the walks were a big part early on. And I think we dug a little bit of a hole as a bullpen and tried to rally and try to do too much and kind of can make matters worse at times. But I think right now we're in a pretty good place. You know, Casey's kind of stabilized things.
Yeah.
You know, it's been better as a unit overall over the last couple of months. You know, obviously, you know, not having Steve Delabar and Sergio Santos perform to what we feel they can has been tough. But, you know, we got to have other guys step up. You know, Dustin McGowan's been very good. You know, he's still learning the role. I mean, he's been around, you know, but he's still learning the role of the routine of a reliever and getting up quite a bit and pitching frequently. Aaron Loop has, you know, been Aaron Loop. You know, aside from the walks, he's still making big outs for us. And Todd Redmond stepped up as well. So, you know, there's opportunities for other guys to step up. You know, I still think we need to shore up that bullpen a little bit and get them all hot at the same time. Which will make things substantially easier for us as a staff.
Do you feel like you could see Santos and Delabar again?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm constantly talking to Randy St. Clair down at AAA, and, you know, I know Sergio is just getting going down there. But, you know, Delabar's had some of the same issues down there as he had up here. You know, some arm side misses, a split seems to be up in the zone, and not, you know, commanding that fastball down the way like he did last year, especially the first half of last year. And you know, I think at times when that velocity dips a hair, in both of their cases, Sergio and Delabar, they try to reach back a little too much at times, and thus the command goes. So I think they really have to learn how to pitch at 93, 94. You know, it's not 96, 97, 98,
right.
93, 94, and locate that fastball and let the secondary stuff work. You know, when you try to do too much as a pitcher, boy, you get yourself in a lot of trouble.
Great to be joined by Pete Walker, the pitching coach of the Toronto Blue Jays here on Tim and Sid. The team's starting rotation was questioned pretty much everywhere heading into this season. Did you understand the questions that the experts had coming into this year?
Yeah, definitely. You know, look at last year and the performance across the board. But I remember having a talk with R.A. Dickey this spring. And, you know, a year under his belt and Mark Burley and you know, getting into a little bit more of a comfort zone, you know, without the WBC. And I had a good feeling about the guys we broke with. And, you know, I felt good about that group. And I remember telling R.A. the starting staff is not going to be our problem. You know, I felt like, you know, matching what the bullpen did last year was going to be the main issue. And, you know, and it turned out to be. But the starting staff really, you know, when you look at it as a whole, has done a very good job. You know, middle of the pack, but, you know, considering where they were last year and where they are this year, I think we've made some pretty good progress. Burley's been, you know, even though he hasn't had a win in a while, he was still pitching good during this streak where he hasn't got a win up until the last couple. And his luck's going to turn. You know, he's still going to go out there and do his thing, and you know, he's going to give us an opportunity to win. RA's been good, no question about it. His numbers at the end of the year will be there. And, you know, I think really what it comes down to is getting that offense back as a unit. And, you know, if this pitching staff continues to get into that seventh inning, I think that's key.
Besides health, have you noticed a difference in R.A. Dickey?
As far as it's, I mean, believe it or not, it seems like I spend more time working on his delivery and talking with him than other pitchers, to be honest with you, over the last year and a half.
How do you do that?
I thought he was going to be the one where, hey, it's just a knuckleball, you know,
right.
Sit back and watch. He does a lot of things like a traditional pitcher does with his delivery, with his, you know, with the way he approaches the game, the way he attacks hitters. And so there's a lot of things that we work on in the bullpen mechanically. He's made some adjustments. He's using the slower knuckleball right now more than he has in the past, and it's actually been a big help. You know, so he's still working on a little cut fastball that he can use here and there. So he's trying to incorporate some new things to help him perform better, especially in the Rogers Center, which is a tough place to pitch. But he's been a pleasure to work with. He's a true professional, comes to the yard every game when he does pitch, ready to perform for these guys. And he's actually done a nice job for us this year, really has. And I think he's getting hot. He's been throwing the ball well over the last five or six starts, and I really think he's going to be a huge help for that final push.
Pete Walker joining us here on Tim and Sid. Could Marcus Stroman been more impressive than he has in his first 10 starts in the bigs?
No chance. He's been, I mean, honestly, we saw him in spring. You know, I do recollect talking about the way he spins the baseball, and you kind of knew he's kind of a special kid. The way he can spin the ball and use three different breaking balls, his slider, his cutter, and his curveball. It's just like a wiffle ball when he lets it go. So it's an impressive pitch. And we saw that in spring training. We just didn't see the consistency with the fastball command and the consistency of the command of the breaking stuff. But, you know, I know that little bullpen stint, everybody was kind of questioning what kind of ability he really had. But this kid can pitch. And, you know, I knew once he got into a nice groove and a routine, he's as competitive as anybody I've ever met. You know, once he takes the ball on the mound, he wants to finish the game. He, you know, right now he doesn't want to come out after seven innings. And, you know, he's just a guy that competes. He wants to win, and he has a will to win. And it's the kind of guy you want to throw out there every 5 days.
That sounds like it. Did you get the same feeling? Because I know we talked to Buck Martinez in spring training, and he couldn't have spoke more glowingly about Aaron Sanchez. Did you get that same feeling from Sanchez where you just watch him and you say, damn, this kid's got something that other kids don't?
Yeah, there's no question about it. I think it's the easy delivery, number one. You see an easy delivery, you know, it's arms and legs coming at you, but it's easy. It's not. It doesn't seem like it's max effort yet. The ball's 97, 98 consistently with movement. So, you know, once you see that and you stand behind it, it stands apart from other guys. You know, head and shoulders, to be a matter of fact. But and the fact that he's starting to throw his breaking ball for strikes, he can take it off the plate when he wants. You know, he's progressed quite a bit this year in a short amount of time from the time he left spring training. You know, I know he had his struggles early on in Double A, but seems to have really found his groove right now. He's comfortable, confident on the mound. And to break in against Boston and New York in the situations he did and to come through with flying colors, I mean, now we just don't want him to let his guard down, which can't happen. You know, when you're a young guy, yeah. You get up here and all of a sudden you do pretty well in a couple of tough situations. It's kind of like, this is pretty easy. And, you know, we know this game can humble you pretty quick. But I think he's in a great place. He's definitely got incredible ability, and he's going to be fun to watch. And we'll just pick our spots and try to use them and be smart with them. And, you know, and he's going to, again, be a huge asset down the stretch.
Pete Walker joining us here on Tim and Sid, pitching coach for the Toronto Blue Jays. Can you explain maybe to the average Joe like me or the listeners why there was no hesitation on the spots where you threw Sanchez into?
I don't know if there was no hesitation. There wasn't. I mean, when, you know, Gibby and I are going through the game and obviously you're trying to figure out a good point to put him in. You know, ideally, a situation where you got a 5 or 6 run lead and you got an inning to work with, you know, but that didn't happen.
Right.
He was ready to pitch. He's available to pitch. There was a need at the time, you know, based on the other right-handed pitchers who have been, you know, were down. So it just kind of worked out that way. And it wasn't that we were hesitant. I still think we would have definitely thrown him in that situation again, but it was a situation which wasn't necessarily ideal, but it was a situation that worked. And, you know, I think sometimes as a young pitcher, you know, you're better off going into a situation like that, to be honest with you. You know, you feel like, hey, I'm just going to let it all hang out and, right. You know, whatever happens, happens. I can't lose here, so to speak. And I think that's how he felt. And but he's a confident kid, and he certainly didn't show his nerves out there. I'm sure that heart was beating on the inside, but he certainly looked confident and comfortable out there, and I definitely think it sent a message to the rest of the American League East.
As was described of me when I started my career, oftentimes young and dumb. Just put him in and let him go.
Exactly.
Given his innings.
Don't quote me on that.
No. Given his innings, he's not going to start, right? Like, he's staying in the bullpen?
You know, I think that's obviously up to the upper management there. But our plan right now is to pitch him out of the bullpen. Obviously, there's an innings number that we have, but he's a guy that can definitely pitch at the end of the season in the situation that we're using him. So, you know, as a starter, I think it'd be putting him in a tough situation. You know, you only have so many innings left to really use him. And then you're in a situation after that, what do you do? So I think he can be very valuable in the role he's in, and it can give us a little shot in the arm in that seventh inning or eighth inning.
Pete Walker joining us here on Tim and Sid is the pitching coach of the Toronto Blue Jays. Can I ask you just kind of generically what or who has surprised you the most this year?
Who surprised me the most? Well, you know, It certainly wouldn't be Mark Burley or Ari Dickey. I know Mark got off such an incredible start, and everybody's talking about that. But he's a true professional. You give him some good offense, and he's going to keep you in the game and win a lot of ball games. So, you know, I think a guy like Todd Redman, you know, nobody talks much about, but he's been invaluable. You know, you look at what he's done in that long role. When you can come out and eat up the fourth, the fifth, the sixth inning, and keep a team in a ball game, and not tax your bullpen the way that some situations, you know, it turns into, but. He's been very valuable to this team in a lot of ways, kind of an unsung hero, kind of a glue between the cracks down there in that pen. And, you know, I still think, you know, I think we all know that he could potentially start and be a fifth guy on a lot of teams and have some success. But he's been great down there for us. You know, who else has really stepped up? Jay Happ has been a surprise, yeah. A pleasant surprise, considering where we were in the spring with the injury and not knowing how he was going to handle that. And he's bounced back tremendously. You know, his breaking ball's gotten better. He's attacking hitters. He's getting deeper into games than he has. I know he got us taken out in the sixth yesterday, but he's been pitching very well and, you know, giving us a good opportunity. Drew Hutchison as well, another guy. You know, it came out of spring training. You know, nobody's really talking about him making the team, made the team, and he's given us a number of good starts, and I expect him to give us a number more down through the stretch run.
Is there any way to avoid or make sure that maybe they don't see it is what many call the rookie wall with Stroman and Hutchison?
You know what? It's one of those areas that you just kind of you pay attention to where they are in their innings and stressful innings and all that kind of thing and how they add up over the course of the season. You can usually tell how a pitcher's performing on the field if he looks like he's fatigued or tired. But right now, you know, honestly, the ball's coming out great. Both those guys, they're still strong. They feel strong. We talk every day. They have good routines. We're monitoring the amount of pitches they make, especially in side sessions. So we're trying to keep them as fresh as we can and keep them around until the end of the season, that's for sure.
Pete Walker joining us here on Tim and Sid. Before I let you go, I have to ask you about something. I know you've been around the game at the professional level, at least the major league level, for almost two decades right now. One of the most interesting conversations that we brought up on the show, despite some, you know, some deeper conversations and some more, you know, intricate conversations, has been the bat flip. And Big Poppy and the Rays have gotten into it for the second time this year over, you know, Poppy showboating or acting like he's bigger than the game. Do you find, as a former pitcher and now a pitching coach, the bat flip a sign of disrespect?
You know what? I think I just think guys have gotten carried away with it. I think initially you hit a home run and you kind of give it a good look. I mean, I've definitely given up a few in my day.
Right.
I remember Manny and I've given up the Big Poppy, but, you know, it's a quick flip and they go, and you know, it never really bothered me. I do think it's gotten out of hand, and I think it's become, you know, when you become more than the game, like it seems like some players out there have, it becomes an issue. You know, it becomes more of a spectacle, and it's kind of more really trying to show up the pitcher at that point.
Right.
I think. So I think, you know, the quick flip or a pitcher pumping his fist after a big punch out, I think those things are all good for the game. It's emotion. It's raw emotion. But sometimes you see some things happen. It's definitely overstepping that line, that fine line. And I think it's pretty obvious to see, to be honest with you. I don't think anybody in the game can't recognize it. And I think it's just one of those things. It's too bad. And, you know, it happens. And sometimes teams like Tampa got to take some matters into their own hands.
Is part of that a younger team trying to say, we're not going to be intimidated? Because it seems to me like Poppy maybe, while he's maybe the leader of the new school who feels like they can do this bat flip, you know, it seems like he's accrued enough time in the bigs that he can do something like that versus a guy who's a rookie or something along those lines. It seems to me like it's the Rays saying, you know what, we're tired of being intimidated.
Yeah, maybe. See, I can't really speak specific on their situation. It wouldn't be fair. But all right. I think in general, I think obviously, you know, it's the longstanding argument that the longer you've been in the game, the more you can get away with. You know, and
do you believe in that?
You know what? I think in some instances, yes. I mean, guys have paid their dues. They've been on the field for a long time. They've been playing the game for a long time. But I, like I said, there is a fine line. And I think once you cross that line, once it becomes a discussion throughout Major League Baseball, there's a good chance you stepped over the line.